Hey, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam here with another throwback interview with another friend, mentor, and just a legend in the personal development speaker industry, Bob Proctor. I'm sure you've heard of Bob. If not, feel free to Google him as well, just like Les Brown from last week. This is from 2012. Bob and I shared the stage at an event in Hawaii in June of that year. And in July, he came on the show. And we talked a little bit about that event, but mainly really dove into the basic laws that Bob lives his life by. One of them, I really love this one saying you're going to hear early on in the interview. When adversity strikes, you know, when problems are going to happen to all of us, you accept it for what it is. It is what it is. And you don't allow it to control you. You control it. You harvest the best and you throw away the rest. I love that. You're going to hear Bob talk about that, among a bunch of other stuff. If you don't know Bob, he started out in the early 1960s working at a firehouse in Toronto. And, I mean, he had a janitorial business. And then he began really becoming a student of personal development. And he is a serious student of Andrew Carnegie. And he talks about that as well. And it just goes to show, you can take one thought, one book, one anything, and go teach on it for the rest of your life. And this guy's still going strong. So this is from 2012. A month after Bob and I spoke at an event together, I had him back on the show. This was his second appearance on the Everyday Saturday podcast. You're going to hear the old style jingle coming up in just a second. Enjoy the content. Classic stuff. Here you go.
Fired up.
Hey everyone, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the number one motivational podcast on the internet right now. I've got the great Bob Proctor. I'm going to bring Bob out in just a minute. But before I do that, I just want to make sure if you're one of our 200,000 plus subscribers through iTunes, number one, thank you very much for being a loyal listener. If you've had yet to go through our 10-day motivational video series at everydayisaturday.com, I send out a brand new video every day to get your day started. Every day is Saturday, right? If we get it started the right way, make sure you go there. Every day is Saturday.com, and I am excited. I get the great Bob Proctor on the line. We can pick Bob's brain. We can gain all the wisdom from Bob's long, long time in the personal development and business building field. So this is just an absolute treat for me. Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday show, Mr. Bob Proctor.
Well, thanks very much, Sam. Good to be here.
Always great, Bob. Always great to hear from you. We actually spoke together in Hawaii last month. It was great seeing you down there. And I've still got my Bob Proctor Create Your Own Economy workbook. So, Bob, I hope you don't mind. I have a lot of notes if we can talk about that.
Whatever you want. You lead, I'll follow, Sam.
Hey, Bob, so here's something I got to start out with right now. I got to come clean. I think it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. I totally plagiarized one of your sayings and put it on my Facebook wall today. Accept it. When something comes into your life, three things. It is what it is. So accept it, harvest the good, and forgive the rest. So I love that. I heard you say that in Hawaii. Can you expand on that, Bob? When something comes into your life, those three things to do. When you said that, what did you mean?
You know, that literally saved my life. It really did. That came from Michael Beckwith, who you saw in The Secret. Michael's a good friend. And he said, when anything happens in your life, it doesn't matter what it is, there's an approach to it. There's a three-step approach. And here's where it goes. It is what it is. Accept it. It's either going to control you or you're going to control it. The second step, harvest the good. Harvest the good. And the more you look for, the more you're going to find. And the third step, forgive all the rest. Forgive means to let go of completely, abandon. Now, you know, I heard that on a Saturday. I was speaking on a program with him. He was on Saturday. I was on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on Monday, I found myself in Cedars-Sinai Hospital having open-heart surgery. I had got some kind of an infection on the aortic valve of my heart, and they had to open me up, take the aortic valve out, put another one in, and then sew me up again. So they literally kill you before they bring you back to life. Now, when I heard that, when Michael wrote that or said that on Saturday, I was taking notes when he was talking because he's so good. I just love listening to him. And he said that. If anything happens in your life, well, something happened in my life, and it was pretty dramatic just a couple of days later. And I was laid up for 90 days. But fortunately, I mean, some people, that would be the end of it. 90 days, I was back out in the road running like the, you know, a banshee hen. And I just kept going over that for the 90 days. It is what it is. Accept it. It's either going to control you or you're going to control it. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that are having things happen to them right now. And if you want to sit and blame whatever it is for whatever you're doing, go ahead and do it. It isn't going to do you any good, though. Then the situation's controlling you. He said, it is what it is. Accept it. It's either going to control you or you're going to control it. And then harvest the good. Just look for the good. The more you look for it, the more you'll find. And then forgive all the rest. Just forgive it. Let it go. But that was some of the best advice I've ever got. Came from Michael Beckwith.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate. I can't forgive Bob. You don't understand, Bob. The business partner embezzled $300,000 from our company. I'm broke. Everything I put into it is gone. Where do I go from here, Bob? I can't. It's easier said than done. I just can't forgive and accept it and move on.
Okay, then let it kill you. Listen, you know what resentment's like? Resentment's like drinking poison, hope the other person dies. It's a dumb game. It happened. Harvest the good and forgive the rest. You see, you have a choice. You can sit and dwell on what's wrong, put yourself in a miserable vibration, and attract more of the same because you're going to attract to you whatever you need. I really believe when something like that happens, it's supposed to happen to get you to where you're going. And complaining about it, blaming it, saying you can't do anything about it, that's a dumb game. You can do something about it. J. Martin Coey wrote a book a number of years ago called Your Greatest Power. And Your Greatest Power, it's a small book. You should order it. You could probably order it on Amazon. Your Greatest Power. And Your Greatest Power is your power to choose. Now, you can choose to let the partner that absconded with all the money drive you crazy, or you can forgive it. Just send them love. See, if you send them love, you're in the love vibration. Just send good feelings to them. If they did something wrong, they'll pay. You're dealing with universal laws. You're not dealing with personal laws.
That's very powerful. I mean, that's very tough to do. I mean, we've all been in a situation where we've gone through change and, you know, we didn't like the way the direction was going, the person steering the ship. Hey, let me ask you, by the way, Bob, what were you doing at the time when you were laid up for 90 days? Were you running your business? I mean, what year are we talking about?
Just 2.5 years ago.
Oh, so this is real recently. So you had a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Now, fortunately, you know, Michael Gerber, he said, if your business requires your presence, you don't have a business, you have a job. Well, I've often wondered if I had a business or if I had a job because, hell, I was there all the time anyway. But I found out that I didn't have a job. I had a business because the business kept going while I wasn't there. Now, my job, I was studying, I was reading, I was talking to people, but the business just kept going. We have a woman that runs our company. She's the president and chief executive officer, Sandy Gallagher, and she does a phenomenal job.
That's true. I mean, the whole work on your business and not work in your business.
Oh, yeah.
That advice is amazing.
Like, I think I'm one of the most fortunate guys in the world. I got a wonderful team of people. And, you know, oddly enough, they're all women. Women run our company.
Yeah, I believe it.
And they do a phenomenal job. But, you know, the point you brought up a minute ago, Sam, you know, you say it's tough. Well, it might be tough, but it's a hell of a lot tougher dwelling on the negative. And, you know, you do have a choice. You can sit and complain and cry and whine about it. Was it a bad deal? Yeah, it was a bad deal. Did the guy leave with the money? Yeah, he left with the money. Did he cause you problems? Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? are you going to dwell on the negative? Because whatever you dwell on, you attract. And so we've got to understand that. We have a choice. There's an opportunity tied up in every negative thing that happens. All we have to do is look for it, and we'll find it.
Isn't that the truth? You know,
it is. It's not just the truth. It's an absolute law. See, the law of polarity decrees there's two sides to everything. There'd be no inside to the room you're in if there wasn't an outside to it. You couldn't have an up without a down or a hot without a cold. Every negative has a positive. We've just got to find it. And sometimes it takes a lot of looking. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're looking for the good, you're not going to run into all bad.
So that's what a great piece of advice that is. I mean, seriously, I go to the grocery store just about every day. I swear I'm one of the only guys in the grocery store at 10 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, you look, nobody's smiling. You say hi to somebody and they smile and you almost think you're going to get arrested. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Smile. I don't even know you.
There's a lot of people carrying a lot of weight. And you know something? They don't have to. We've got the godlike ability to choose. Think of this for a moment. All the little creatures in the world are totally at home in their environment. I watch the squirrels out here. They blend in with the trees and the leaves and the birds and everything. All of nature's creatures blend in with their environment. We are the only creature on the planet who's totally disoriented in our environment. And that's because we have the ability to create our own environment. But we're not very bright, most of us. We let what's going on around us control us. We've got to be in control, and we can be in control. It takes some training. It takes some learning. But what the hell? It took training and learning to ride a bike. Our attitude is everything. Your attitude is your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. It controls the vibration you're in. Your brain's an electronic switching station. Every time you think, you set up a vibration in your body. Well, the vibration you're in is going to dictate what you attract. We can literally magnetize ourselves to good stuff.
Bob, when you hear people say, I'm going to manifest this or manifest that, when I hear you talk about it, I believe it. But when I hear somebody else say, for example, you know, hey, Sam, I want to come on board as a coaching client. Okay, well, it's $100,000 investment. Well, let me throw it out to the universe, and I know that when I do that, I'm going to be a coaching client of yours. You know how many of those people have come into my coaching program in the last 3 years, Bob? Zero. There's a way Bob thinks about it, and when I hear you say that I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to get it, like I hear you, and I heard you in Hawaii talk, and we've talked on a number of different occasions now. Like, I believe you're going to attract that, but I don't believe anybody else.
You're picking up, like, if I'm saying something like that, and you say, I believe that, you're getting it intellectually, you're getting it emotionally, and you're getting it physically. I communicate the whole idea. Most people are wishing positive and thinking negative. They wish they could do it, but their paradigm is in control of them. See, we're programmed from the time, from the moment of conception, we're programmed. It's a genetic programming. And then when we're born, it's environmental programming. And we're programmed to be like our environment. We're programmed by the people we're surrounded by, and we do that up until we're about five, and then they send us to school, and they continue the programming right through school. And we leave, and we think if we got a degree, we've got it made. Well, you can, and at one time, that probably worked for a while. You know, your degree got you a job. That's why the economy's so screwed up. They were hiring people on how much knowledge they had gathered. They weren't hiring them on what they could do. Well, your paradigm is like a program in your subconscious mind. It's genetic, and then it's environmental. We speak the language we speak because we were programmed with that language. We like the food we like because we were programmed to like that food. This all happened when we were little gaffers, you know, from birth to maybe four or five. Well, we're programmed with negative information. 90-some% of the population, they wished it was Saturday, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Monday and Sunday. Sunday's a bad day because Monday's coming, you know. Like, every day's Saturday. I don't know one day from the next. I live the way I want to live. I do the thing I want to do. But I'm in control of me. And I changed my paradigm 50 years ago last October, I woke up and I started to change the paradigm. I didn't know what I was doing. It took me a number of years to figure out what the hell I had done. But what I actually did, I changed the program that controlled my life. And most people never change that program. They don't even understand how it operates. If we don't study and gain an understanding of how our mind functions, the odds of us winning are just enormous against us. If we do study, the odds of us losing are next to nil. The winning becomes natural. When you talk about the manifestation of an idea or your idea manifesting, if you understand the laws and understand your nature, it not just might, it has to. Andrew Carnegie said, any idea that is held in the mind, that's emphasized, that's either feared or revered, this works for good and bad, begins at once to clothe itself in the most convenient and appropriate forms available. Whatever's going on in your mind is manifesting in your life. Hell, I could take a look at a person's results and I can tell you the way they think. They can say, oh, I don't do that. Oh, yeah, well, how come you're broke?
Right.
And you see somebody else doing well, their business is flourishing, they're creating their own economy. And we can create our own economy. We don't have to buy into this stuff that the Obama and the Prime Minister and the governors and that are all talking about. We create it ourselves.
They're just lucky, Bob. They're just lucky.
Yeah.
They caught lightning in a bottle.
Voltaire gave us a good answer to that. He said, we invented the word luck and miracle and all chance to express the known effects of unknown causes. When people look at something that's happened and they don't understand it, they put it down to luck or chance or a miracle. Once you understand the laws and you understand your nature and you understand how the elements operate, you can predict where you're going and what you're going to do.
So you're a student of Think and Grow Rich. I mean, that's no secret. Anybody that knows you knows you picked it up.
A serious student of Think and Grow Rich. Of Andrew Carnegie prior to.
Yeah. A serious student of Think and Grow Rich. But how do you connect the dots? So you start, like, I've read Think and Grow Rich. I'm going to embarrass myself right now. I've read Think and Grow Rich, but when I listen to you talk, I'm thinking, how the hell did this guy connect the dots and get so smart from studying that book to knowing all these laws of the universe? Like, when did that happen?
Well, First of all, I don't think I'm that smart. I just studied in a very narrow niche. I studied Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill got his direction from Andrew Carnegie. And the reasoning that was presented to me, a man named Ray Stanford, he said, listen, Carnegie started with nothing. He became the wealthiest man in the world. He spent half his life earning money and the other half giving it away. He said, I think he knows something you don't know, Bob. Now, he said he took what he knew and gave it to Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill studied with some of the wealthiest and wisest in the world, and he gave it to Earl Nightingale. I went to work with Nightingale and spent 5 years picking his brain, working right next to him, and all I've done is just study one subject, why we do what we do and why we don't do what we want to do. And because I get pretty good results, people think I'm smart. Hell, I went to grade 9. I went to high school for 2 months. Mm. I found you don't have to be very smart to win, but you do have to be disciplined. And discipline is giving yourself a command and follow it. Anyone that's on your mailing list, if they did exactly what you tell them, they would be a screaming success. They'd write their own ticket. See, I don't have to ask this Sam Colley know what he's talking about. You've been around for quite a while. You're getting great results. That's all I have to know. If you're not getting the results, if you haven't been around a while, now, you'll often find flashes in the pan. They come along and they're winning and they're going like a rocket, and then you don't hear from them. Where the hell they go?
Right.
Well, you know, they're flashes in the pan. But anybody that's been around for a while, they know something that the other people don't know. Find out what they do and start doing the same thing.
So how does somebody – let's talk a little bit of marketing. I've never talked to you about marketing before, but I know you're a sharp marketing mind as well. So I want to do what Bob Proctor does. I want to be an expert in my niche, and I want to help other individuals. I want to create products, whether they're DVDs or CDs or audios or things like that. And I just want to be the next Bob Proctor, but I want to be in my own narrow niche. But I'm not – I've never had anybody pay me for my advice or my services before. I certainly can't command what Bob has. How do I even make money? Well, let's just use, for example, I want to sell my cookbook recipes, Bob, but I've never sold one before. Where do I even go? I need the money. I got to pay my bills. I don't have any money. So if you're telling me that I just got to focus in a narrow niche and do what I love to do, I got news for you, man, that doing what I love to do isn't going to make me any money right now. I need a job. I need security. I need all of these other things.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Sam, to answer that. Mm-hmm. Do you have a coaching program?
Yes.
And what do you teach on the coaching program?
How to monetize your passion.
All right. Then you know certain rules, and if a person follows them, they're going to turn their passion into dollars, aren't they?
Correct.
Okay, that's what a person wants to do, but they've got to pay for it. And if it costs them nothing, they know what it's worth. We have a program. I train people to facilitate our material. I got great material, and we can turn a person into a facilitator, not a coach, a facilitator. The program does the coaching. And we train people to do it, and they do it very well, and we've got people all over the world doing it. Now, that's what I did, and that's how I got into the business. And when you're around it a while, then you start to learn how the business operates, and if you want to make your own programs, then you can. It's the same as becoming an electrician, a plumber, a neurosurgeon, a thoracic surgeon, a dentist. You go to people that know what they're doing, and do exactly what they tell you. See, that was the greatest thing I learned. Ray Stanford said to me, Bob, your way's not working. My way works. He said, money cannot talk, but it can hear. And if you call it, it'll come. Now, he said, I can show you how to do that, but you've got to do exactly what I tell you. I cannot teach you to win your way. Your way has proved that it doesn't work. I can only teach you my way. And at first I thought that was fairly arrogant, but when I took the time to analyze it, I thought, what the hell, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I had never gone to person that really got good results up to that point in my life. Now, I was only 26, so I actually learned fairly young. I thought at the time I was learning it was fairly old. But It makes such sense. I would go to the guy that I was working beside or the person next door, my brother-in-law, say, what do you think we should do? Well, you know, Carlyle said he didn't believe in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. There was a bunch of us. None of us knew how to do it, and we're trying to decide how to do it. Go to someone who knows and then do exactly what they tell you. That's what discipline is. It's giving yourself a command and follow it.
And what about the bills, Bob? How do they get paid while you're being, quote-unquote, apprentice?
You make certain the bills are paid. You spend very little. You allocate a portion of everything you earn for your own growth and development. You've got to pay to learn. You're not going to get the information for nothing.
That's
and
great.
Just cut
That's
out
great.
A lot of the frills until you can afford them.
Yeah, you know, I've got friends in Iowa, Chip and Renee Whitrock, who actually thank you for that advice. Renee wanted me to actually thank you next time we spoke to say, tell Bob just thank. I mean, look, you've impacted thousands around the world. I'm sure you hear that a lot. But she said, you know, the one piece of advice that Bob gave me, it's so simple, but boy, it was so powerful. Pay your bills. Just pay your bills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, And keep your promises. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
See,
no, that's...
if a person can't take you at your word, what are you worth? It's pretty simple, you know. It's like,
not much,
you know,
right? Yeah.
Shine your shoes, you know, cut your nails, you know. Comb your hair, press your pants. It's basic stuff. There's nothing complicated about it. If winning was tough, you wouldn't have had people like W. Clement Stone, who owned Combined Insurance, started out with nothing. In 1970, he was the wealthiest man in the United States. People like Carnegie, who started out with nothing, this young guy from Scotland, became the wealthiest in the world. You take a look, ordinary people that have done extraordinary things. They weren't necessarily the brightest people in town. but they were disciplined. They got good advice, and they followed it. And that's really all there is to it.
You know, that's so true, man. You get great advice, follow the advice. Don't be distracted. Don't spend your whole day on social networks, you know, doing stuff that isn't going to add any value to anybody's life, especially your own. And, hey, Bob, I'm looking at my notes from the last time you presented as well, and I wrote down this quote. 2% of people think, 3% think they think, and 95% would rather die than think.
That came from Dr. Ken McFarland. He had been the superintendent of schools down in Kentucky. He was quite a horseman, had a big horse farm, but he was also one of the greatest speakers. He and Bill Gove were great speakers. He was under contract. He's been gone now for a number of years. He was under contract to General Motors. I worked with him one time in Chicago, and I had listened to him on record a long time before that. I used to listen to him on records, long playing records. And he said, 2% of the people think, 3% think they think, 95% would rather die than think. Now, Earl Nightingale said, if most people said what they were thinking, they would be speechless. Henry Ford says, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason so few people engage in it. You know, when you hear that, it's easy to dismiss it. You'll say, everybody thinks. The truth is, hardly anybody does. People wouldn't say what they were saying if they were thinking. They wouldn't do what they're doing if they were thinking. You see, the average individual mistakes mental activity for thinking. Mental activity is not thinking. The mind is stimulated by flashing colors and moving birds and, you know, sounds and everything going on around us. All of nature's creatures respond to outside stimuli. Well, that's what's going on in our mind. It's just stuff being triggered in our brain. But that's not thinking. Thinking isn't taught in school. And yet thinking can be taught. It's a subject that you can learn just like typing or playing a piano. Such an important subject.
It is. You know, what those thoughts that are going through your mind, that resonated with me. When I think you said 95% would rather, you know, die than think. I get that, you know. Well, what do you think? Well, I think I'm broke. I think I'm depressed. I think I'm in 25 different antidepressants. I mean, I think my life's terrible. And, you know, you get them thinking, and that's probably the worst thing that could happen to some individuals, you know.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. Hey, Bob, let's shift gears real quick because I know, first of all, station identification, Sam Crowley from Every Day is Saturday speaking with the great Bob Proctor. If you'd like to plug into Bob, which everybody should do if you haven't already, go to bobproctor.com and just gather as much information from Bob as you possibly can. And Bob, on a personal, this is completely selfish on my part, but I lost a really good friend this weekend who, a girl named Carla Zandi, who I went to high school and grade school with, and she died at the age of 45 from breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer, and it's incredibly difficult for her and her family right now. You know, to bury a child is, I think, probably the hardest thing to ever go through.
No question about it.
Do you fear death, Bob? What are your thoughts about death?
I don't really. And I was tested on that when I had the heart surgery because when I was going in the operating room, I didn't know if I was going to come out of it. But no, well, first of all, I don't think there is any such thing as death. Now, when you hear that, you say, oh, wait a minute, the guy's hallucinating. There's only two sources of reference to go to learn anything about ourselves. One is science and the other is theology. Both of them clearly indicate that nothing is created or destroyed. So that only postulates the theory of life. Death, as we know it, is when the soul leaves the body. Birth is when the soul enters the body. See, birth is a transition, the same as death. The soul leaves the body and continues on its eternal journey. And when we really understand that, it starts to make a difference. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't mourn the loss of a loved one, because nothing's more final. Physically, they're gone. But if you stop and think about this, physically, their body's not even dead. If you go and pick up a microscope and look at the remains, you'll see it moving. And if it wasn't moving, how would it ever change to dust? See, we live in an ocean of motion. We're spiritual beings. We're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. I was speaking at a funeral just recently. A friend of mine passed away. And I quoted the poet. And I said, you know, If Bob could speak to us right now, if he could look down and talk to us, and I think he probably is looking down on us, he would probably say, when you see where I went, you'll wonder why you ever wept.
Wow.
And so I believe the soul leaves the body and it continues on its eternal journey. And you will get over the loss, maybe not completely, but we want to understand that, you know, we are a soul. We don't have one. And we are spiritual beings. We're an extension of a deathless soul. And it's worth studying because it makes the idea of death so much different. I remember when I first really started to study it and gain an understanding of it, when I went to funeral, my attitude was so totally different. And we should celebrate their life and not mourn their death. Now, that takes some training, and it's a shift in our perception sometimes.
Now, when I saw, I was actually on your fan page on Facebook last week, and I saw you had posted that, you know, if we were going to live 1,000 years, then, you know, taking it easy right now, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. But the likelihood is most of us will be gone, you know, somewhere, you know, around the age of, let's just say 80, for example, okay, and not putting a specific number on it. But do you use death or your limited time on Earth, or have you ever used it as a motivation to get going?
No, not at all, no. No, I'm very self-motivated, and it's, I think when you're doing what you love, you don't need to be motivated. When I wake up in the morning, I know that I'm going to be doing what I love doing all day long, and I think that's the difference. And I've always got objectives that I'm working on. At night, I make up my mind what I'm going to do the next day. And I knew that I was going to have the interview with you. I have another one at 4 o'clock that I have to do. I wanted to clean my office up. It was starting to get a little messed up. So I put everything where it was supposed to be. And then I got the rest of the day now to work on a couple of projects that I'm working on that I'm going to bring to market in a reasonably short period of time. And I knew what I was going to do when I got up, and I love what I'm doing. So I don't use it that way at all. Like, I was 78 a couple of weeks ago. I've got as much energy as a person that's 28. Now, I know that I'm not going to be here 100 years or even 50 years from now, but I know I'm here now. And so that's all anybody's got. You can't go by age. Age is really a mental thing. It's got nothing to do with anything that we say it has to do with, you know. We've got to realize that we're here, it's now, and that's all we'll ever have. There isn't any past, there isn't any future. All we've ever got is the present, what's right here, right now. And if we will apply ourselves and treat people the way we want to be treated and give the best we got to whatever we're doing and have a target that we're moving toward, we're going to have a pretty good life.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. You know,
and we've certainly been endowed with the talent and ability to make virtually anything happen. We wouldn't be able to get a picture of something if we weren't able to do it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I just get like complete access to Bob, like I'm, you know, inside the Bob Proctor mind. But everything you say, and I'm not minimizing any of you said, because it's all fantastic, but it's all information that's readily out there for anybody if they really are serious about making a huge shift, right? I mean, this information, you're a student, and you've been studying since 1961, but, you know, this information, if people want it, it's out there, Bob, right?
Oh, it is. There's absolutely no question about it. It's everywhere. See, when I first started to study in 61, you had to look for it. There wasn't self-help books all over the place. There was just a few recordings come out. There wasn't the recorded material that we have today. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have CDs and DVDs or any of that. All the information's there. What a person really wants to study, and this is not readily available everywhere, is how to shift the paradigm. And if they don't understand what a paradigm is, make it their business to find out. And the paradigm is like a program in our subconscious mind, and it is what's controlling our behavior. People know how to do a better job than they're doing. They're not doing it because the paradigm's controlling the results, not what they know. And so I would say if a person really wants to, if they want to get anything out of our conversation, find out what paradigms are and shift them. That's really what I'm about. I help people understand paradigms, understand how to change them. And when that happens, we've had kids in school go to from C&D to A&B overnight. We've watched businesses grow from multinational business like Prudential. We raised the sales by hundreds of millions of dollars. Malaysia Airlines, big companies, to small companies, small mom and pop operations. They're all the same. Mm-hmm. I was asked by a man the other day, he said, you work all over the world? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, what are the people like in the different places? I said, they're all the same. The only thing that's different is the culture. Culture is paradigm. That's what a culture is. It's group habit. And when you get past the culture, people are essentially the same. They look a little different. They sound different. They eat different food, wear different clothes. But they're all the same. They're spiritual beings. They're living in physical bodies. And they're governed by laws. The law is God's modus operandi. It's how everything happens. Everything in our life is happening by law. So we want to understand the laws and understand paradigms.
Group habit. Boy, you're right. First time I learned about paradigm was listening to one of your tapes. So you're right. If you want to learn about paradigms, you can check Bob at BobProctor.com. It's Sam Crowley from Every Day is Saturday. Wrapping it up, one last question. I got to throw this in. You brought it up earlier, and I think it's funny, but it's not funny. We're in a heavy political season here in the United States where I live, and I know you spent some time in Arizona going back and forth to Toronto. Bob, when you're in the U.S. and oh, Bob, people come up, oh, boy, if this Obama gets reelected, oh, boy, if Mitt Romney gets the White House, we're done, Bob. We are so done. What do you think when you hear that, people basing their future on whoever gets elected?
Well, they're not thinking. It doesn't matter which ones get elected. They're going to be in for 4 years or 8 years, and they're going to be gone. We want to quit depending on the government. If you're depending on the government, you are really on the wrong track. You want to realize, regardless who gets in, you have the ability to choose your own thoughts. You have the ability to create your own paradigm. I believe America is one of the greatest countries in the world, bar none. Now, I'm a Canadian, and I'm saying that as a Canadian. I love America. I absolutely love it. I think North America is one of the greatest continents in the world. There's nothing better. So for a person to complain, here in North America, in Canada, the U.S., we live like Solomon in all his splendor and glory relative to the most of the population of the world. So we've got no room to bitch or complain about anything. And if you're not happy about something, change it.
That is where we're going to end today's show. Wow, that is awesome. If you're not happy about it, change it. Hey, Bob, I could call you every day. And don't worry, I won't blow up your phone. But I love talking to you because you're somebody that's actually walked the walk. You're just a wealth of information. But it's funny because you see Bob, if you go to YouTube, you'll see him on Ellen or you'll see him on Larry King. And I hung out with Bob in Hawaii. Bob, you're just a regular guy just who's really done it, though. It's not like when you
just
see
an ordinary
Bob,
guy doing ordinary things, Sam. That's
it's really – I think that's my biggest takeaway in all these conversations you and I have had throughout the years is just Bob's an ordinary – I mean, ordinary, I don't mean that as an offensive comment. Ordinary is just an average, approachable individual who doesn't tolerate
We're all the same,
mediocrity.
Sam. Yeah. If anybody tries to pass himself off as being better than you, get the hell away from them in a hurry because you don't want to catch what they've got. We're ordinary people. But we can do extraordinary things because we've got phenomenal powers. But we should do this more often. It's been a couple of years since I've been on there with you.
I know. We got to do it more. You're absolutely right. I really think there's a great energy, you know, between you and I. Obviously, I mean, I'm looking at your, create your own economy. And my wife's like, oh, you're not stalking this guy, are you? Because she sees my iPod and it's got a lot of Bob Proctor in it. And but look, when you resonate with somebody, like every day is Saturday, you could take over my business and run it because you feel the same way. You just said it. You think every day is Saturday. You don't know what day it is. You know, you don't need to know. Every day.
You know, I was telling somebody about that this morning, and I think that's the greatest name. I honestly do. I think you picked a winner because that is something everybody ought to treat every day as Saturday. Saturday seems to be a free day. Well, if every day's Saturday, then you got free life. That's the way it should be.
I'd love to take credit for it, but when I was in the corporate, my daughter asked me, Daddy, is tomorrow Saturday, you know? And that's how I started thinking, well, what if every day was Saturday? Because she resonated that one day as the only time she saw her dad, you know? She was 3.5 years old. So sometimes you just got to pay attention. It doesn't matter if it's a 78-year-old man or a 3-year-old girl. Everybody, somebody can change your life with the power of just a few words.
That's true.
You know?
Sam, it's been a pleasure.
Hey, Bob, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're absolutely going to do this again, and I just want to make sure I give everybody an opportunity once again to go to bobproctor.com and just get yourself into Bob's message and his teachings. I've been a student for a long, long time, and Bob has really had a tremendous impact on my life, changed my life. And, Bob, have a great rest of the week. It's been awesome having you on the show. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Sam.
Take care.
I know.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.